T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jared Greenberg right now, NBA on TNT, joins us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jared, I think it's gonna sound like a stupid question, but considering how bad Miami looked last night and how gassed and just banged up they are, who has a better chance of coming back and winning their series, Miami or Dallas?
No, I don't answer stupid questions. Sorry, man.
Well, I'm going to go home.
Yeah, time for you to go home, Chico.
No, Dustin, appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, good to have you, man.
Good to be fellas again.
Good hearing from you.
Jared, Michael here, Chico is his nickname. He's jealous that we're buds and he's not.
That's all right. Yeah. It's all right. Well,
you got to build that over time, Chico.
He's got to build your reputation. Yeah.
It comes with a few paychecks as well. You can Venmo me. I'll send you my link.
If I had a paycheck, I'd give you
one. I feel good that's who I'd be your first person that you turn to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that based on how weird this Miami series is with Boston, I would still give them the better chance to come back than Dallas. Just, it kind of feels insurmountable for Dallas to win two more games than it does for Miami to do so, particularly with, Miami's, we always talk about this, it feels like it's kind of cliche, it's overused, but I feel like Miami has, it's poignant enough to use it with them, is that they have that corporate knowledge. Just 2 years ago, most of these guys and the guys who weren't there, like, Kyle Lowry, and, we'll see what happens with him and his injury and if he can get out of this funk he's in and how much they play him. But, I just would have more faith in them than I would in Dallas doing something that's never been done in the history of the game, right? So that's just kind of where I stand on that. And quite frankly, I think it's a long shot for both. I think right now it seems obvious to say, but it looks like we're looking at a Boston Golden State Finals.
What's funny, Jared, is watching that last game with Dallas in Golden State, and Dallas gets that huge lead, right, in the second half, and then Golden State comes back, right? They get under 10 points, like with 3 minutes to go or whatever it was, and it almost felt like, even though they still lost that game, that felt like the momentum was there for Golden State, that almost like put some maybe doubt in the minds of Mavs fans and Mavs players, that like, man, we were just up like 35 points and now we're up like 8. This team's ridiculous.
Yeah, and keep in mind the whole comeback was orchestrated by all bench players, right?
Like, right.
It was all the second unit, and it wasn't until the end of it that Steph Curry came back in. He still left Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the bench. So, yeah, I mean, that is part of what makes Golden State so scary. You're seeing, and I mentioned this earlier today to somebody, and I think it's worth kind of hammering home at this point, whether Golden State wins a title or not. If you would have spoke to people 2 months ago in that organization, and, I was on the beat covering the Warriors for the first two rounds of the playoffs, and I heard this from people often, like, they did not come into this postseason run having that championship expectation like they did internally, in their 5 straight runs to the NBA Finals. But the Warriors, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, really thought that they were a year out from restarting that dynasty again. And this comes as a bit of a surprise to them. I mean, think about it. Think about how many young players they're introducing. Jordan Poole, Moses Moody played big minutes the other night, who hasn't really played in the playoffs at all. Jonathan Kuminga, you know, those type of guys. And then you're dealing with a guy like Klay Thompson, who's coming off these two massive injuries. And we've always said this, anybody who comes off one of those, let alone two of those injuries, usually it's their second year back that they're most effective. And then you throw in Draymond and Steph getting injured during the season. But the Warriors really thought, like, all right, well, all of this is gravy this year. Whatever we get. It's icing on the cake. It's nice. But next year is the year that we really start to get this thing going again. So I think that's the scary part for me about the Warriors run. And if they win a championship or not this year, just how much better they're going to be coming into next season than they are right now.
Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals will be seen on TNT. Tip-off just after 9 o'clock. Golden State with a 3-1 lead on the Mavericks. Jared Greenberg joining us. Really nice guy with NBA on TNT.
Terrific guy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Don't suck up to me now. Don't suck up.
How do you know I wasn't being sarcastic? Jared, let me ask you about this East Final series. And you mentioned Boston, Golden State getting there, which I think probably is going to happen. How important is Robert Williams if Boston's going to topple Golden State and they're going to win it all? Not to get ahead of ourselves too much, but how important is Robert Williams in that?
He is so important that in my let me brag on myself here, humble brag, in my Defensive Player of the Year vote that I got for the NBA, I'll pat myself on the back here. The reason why I didn't vote Marcus Smart number one on my ballot for Defensive Player of the Year was because I thought, not that Marcus Smart wasn't great this year, but I thought the Celtics had the best defense in basketball because of the cumulative effort of Smart and guys like Robert Williams and how much of a step Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and how good Al Horford was. But primarily it was Robert Williams. Like, I think I even put Robert Williams on my second team All-NBA defensive team vote. Like, he is that freaking good. You saw it last night. Like, some of those shots, shot blockers are known for protecting the rim. This dude wouldn't let you shoot a three on him. And as Jeff Van Gundy pointed out, like, he was in the paint when his guy was catching the ball on the perimeter and still made it out there quick enough to get a hand on it and stop it and deflect the shot. Like, this guy is unbelievable, and he's still pretty young. Like, I think the Celtics think the world of him. I was very frustrated over the last couple of years of Brad Stevens' tenure that he didn't play him more. He was, like, very hesitant to play him big minutes, and maybe there's something internally going on there. I don't really know. And he's right now playing with, you know, some significant injuries too. But I just think Robert Williams, he is making Bam Adebayo afraid of shooting the basketball. Like, and at times I think Bam, like, forgets when Robert Williams is on him because he's having nightmares of Robert Williams. There were times when Grant Williams or Al Horford was defending him last night, and Bam was just over the first three quarters of the game until he finally decided, all right, I'm going to really get aggressive here in the fourth quarter. He was turning down, like, hook shots or basic floaters in the paint or jumpers in the paint to go kick it out because he was having PTSD of Robert Williams really getting in his way. And I think for the Warriors, that's going to be a significant problem because where the Warriors have had success against the Mavs in this series and really in their first couple of series, except for some spot games where Kevon Looney has been sensational, including the closeout game against Memphis where he had 22 rebounds, is that they like to go small. They operate best with Draymond at the five. And it'll be curious to see if they'll be okay with Draymond, you know, on Robert Williams there, as opposed to paying more attention to a guy like Jason Tatum.
Jared, last night, in the first half, they combined for 79 points. I think it was the least amount since 2014 in a playoff game. Is this bad basketball or really good defense?
No, last night was bad basketball. I mean, that's...
I'm glad you agree. I thought it was awful last night.
No, that last night was definitely, I mean, it's convenient that two teams that had defensive-minded coaches and, you know, the numbers will bear out that they actually play some good defense and people, you know, the average sports fan who likes to find ways to hate on the NBA will say nobody plays defense anymore. Well, you know, watch the Celtics. But last night was terrible. Like, some of those turnovers, like, if people were tweeting this and I couldn't help but laugh. Jaylen Brown, it was almost like he was in Space Jam, where he like his power to dribble the basketball got taken away from him. Like he forgot how to dribble a basketball last night. It was weird, guys.
Talking to Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT. Let me ask you a question about Dallas. I mean, this is a team that will probably go down here in the Western Finals, but You do have one of the best players in the league in Luka Doncic. This roster is probably not around him ready to win a championship. Yeah. How drastic does that need to change? Do they need to change this roster and add to this roster for that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, unless you go back to Dallas in 2011, you really can't have a roster in the NBA that doesn't have multiple stars on it to win. I don't think you need the four stars that some of these teams thought they needed over the last 10 years to win, but I think you certainly need at least two. And you know, Jason Kidd said this the other day when they were down 3-0, and I thought it was very important to note this because, you know, really outside of very few exceptions in NBA history, especially modern-day history, you've got to lose, like, deep into the playoffs. You've got to take that heartbreak. You've got to carry that chip on your shoulder, as I just rattle off cliche after cliche. I'm really proud of myself, you guys. And you've got to take that into future years. Like, it's very seldom that a team just kind of loses in the first round a couple of years and then all of a sudden goes on and wins a championship. And Jason Kidd noted that you know, we've got to learn from this. And I would imagine what this loss, this series is going to do, assuming Dallas does go on to lose, to Luka Doncic this upcoming summer in the offseason, I would really hope we see a different guy come into the regular season where he takes the summer seriously and puts some integrity back into the regular season saying, listen, I'm the MVP of this league, I'm the best player in this league, and we're going to win a championship, but it's going to start with us building habits, you know, in October and November, not waiting until to flip the switch in the postseason.
Jared, do you think the playoffs are better or worse without some of the stars like LeBron and Durant? Et cetera, you know, in the mix here in the finals?
I mean, it depends on what angle you're asking from. I mean, you know.
I mean, is it good that there's new blood?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, listen, it's so funny. You know, people are crying about all these blowouts that we've had in the lopsided games. But all I heard, you know, for 5 years from 2015 to 2019 was people crying that the Warriors are too good and their teams can't compete. You know, it's always the Cavs and the Warriors every year and nobody else has got a shot. Well, now there's new teams. So you know, it's going to take some time to for this thing to even itself out. And it's like, you know, I get that we're seeing a lot of blowouts, but we're also seeing relatively long series. We haven't seen very many sweeps. And I think, you know, the interesting question I'll toss this back to you guys with is, would you rather see a 7-game series where every game is decided by 20 points, where literally you go in every night not knowing who's going to win? Or would you rather see a 4-game sweep, every game coming down to the final possession?
Dustin?
Think the Mavs win tonight? Either of you? Does either of you think the Mavs have a chance tonight just to extend to game 6?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a chance.
6.5 point spread?
It'll be a close game.
Yeah. I want a close game. Just give me one. Give me a game that comes down to the final possession or the final couple of possessions, because I just tired of turning the games off at
exactly
the third, you know, half the third quarter left to go. That's what I want. Just to give me a close game.
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend or a wife?
I do. Yeah.
I mean, she probably appreciates the fact that you're paying more attention to her later.
Oh, she's asleep. Does. She's asleep way early.
A little personal, yeah. Don't you think, there, Jared?
Well, I like to get to know you guys.
Jared knows this very well.
All right, last question for you. It is, speaking of LeBron, it's about the Lakers. Is this even? I can't believe I'm saying this, but is this even a desirable position to have right now, to be the head coach of the Lakers, when you figure everything that's going on in the front office and with LeBron and the Westbrook stuff? Like, I would, are some of these guys out there, some of these candidates going, eh, no thanks?
I've been waiting for somebody to ask me this. I've been doing a lot of radio this week, and you guys are the first ones to ask me this, and I've been debating whether I'm going to bite my tongue on this or not. I'm not going to bite my tongue, because I think a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. I think a lot of these guys who are out there, these names, and I'm not going to say who I think, but I think a lot of the names that are out there right now, and I'm not saying that they're not interviewing. I think the reporting is spot on that they're interviewing, but I think a lot of this is PR. I think a lot of this is to get these coaches' names who have been out of the cycle for the last couple of years. If you look at the names that we're seeing a lot of that are being reported to the Lakers have interest, or they have interest in the Lakers and who's interviewing and all that stuff, a lot of these guys have been out of the news for a while. And this is a nice way to get their name back into the mix. And then We'll see, because some of the reporting we've heard, which I think is spot on, is what the Lakers are willing to offer in terms of years and money. I mean, listen, Ty Lue should be the coach of the Lakers right now, but the Lakers didn't want to spend for that. And now they're paying greatly for that. And I think Frank Vogel actually did a tremendous job for them, winning a championship, building, you know, one of the best defenses in basketball, and he did it with kind of a makeshift roster at the time. And then you see what happens when they have a really poorly put together roster that, you know, it didn't matter if Jesus was the coach. They weren't going to defend because they didn't have the parts to do it. So I would just tell everybody to pump the brakes and say, let's wait to see who actually signs on the dotted line for the Lakers head coaching job.
All right. Well, Jared, I just, I'm kind of obligated to say, really enjoyed your insight here.
Well, I hated every second of it.
Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT. Look for game 5 tonight of the Western Conference Final. It really was good stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jared.
Appreciate you guys. Chico, great to talk to you for the first time. I can't wait to do it again.
You as well. Is that heartfelt or is that sarcastic?
Oh, that was heartfelt. Very heartfelt.
It depends, you know, if you donate some money to my DM on Twitter.
Like I said, when I get that money, you'll be the first one I contact.
you guys are sweet.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Jared Greenberg.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.